AccuWeather forecast, partly cloudy, humid today, chance for a stray afternoon thunderstorm, high near 85. The president of the Kenosha Unified School Board pushed to formally reconsider the name of the new sports stadium at Bradford High School, and was led to the item being placed on the agenda for next Tuesday night's regular meeting. Tamara Coleman was one of three supporters to calling that facility Olin Arrington Jr. Stadium, after the one-time board member and the first African-American on the school board. Community reaction, though, led to what the Kenosha News says was an August 11th email to Superintendent Sue Savaglio-Jarvis. It said, quote, "We got to bring this back. Please add it to the agenda for the August 23rd board meeting," unquote. Coleman then sent emails to the other board members about her directive for discussion and possible action for rescinding the previous decision. The board's ad hoc naming committee, of course, said the stadium should bear the school's namesake, Mary D. Bradford. It was proposed quite a while ago, and it's taken some time to iron out all the legal wrinkles. But the Racine Unified School District now has another partner to help in the education of students with the Racine Public Library and the use of a single card to access materials. James O'Hagan, the district's director of digital and virtual learning, said that both he and library director Jessica McPhail are all excited about coordinating these available services for students.
Every child has access now to the public library as a result, not just elementary, but this is every student. Every RUSD student would have access to the library, whether they have a personal card and have fines or whatever. This is equal access for everybody.
Board member John Heckenlightly offered praise for one of the most valuable resources in the Racine area, which he noted is in his district.
And I don't get there enough, but it is one of the great resources in this community, and I think you're doing excellent work.
That agreement between the school district and the library, unanimously approved by the Board of Education, it also allows access to library materials with the student ID cards and for the materials to be sent to the school libraries for use. Kenosha's City Plan Commission will meet at 5 o'clock this afternoon at the Municipal Building. The agenda for that gathering includes proposed adoption of project plan amendments for tax incremental districts numbers 4, 8, and 11 to make the financing available on projects being proposed through Mayor John Antaramian's office, including an $8 million downtown parking ramp, and preliminary designation of boundaries and adoption of the proposed project plan for TID number 19, which is the former Chrysler site. In Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument closed again today after being shut down yesterday due to another elevator malfunction, and it's going to stay closed until the service technicians can say it's safe.
We got a report shortly before 11:30 this morning that the elevator had stopped between the 500 and 490-foot levels. One employee was on board.
That's National Park Service spokesman Mike Litterst, who says 84 visitors at the top of the obelisk had to use the stairway to get back to the ground. Monument had just reopened Monday after the most recent elevator problem. And former Calumet County District Attorney Ken Kratz, who put Brandon Dassey behind bars 10 years ago for his part in the Teresa Halbach murder, he's surprised the judge overturned the conviction, claiming that that judge went out of his way to suppress evidence previously allowed. Judge ruled that police officers had forced an involuntary confession from the learning disabled teenager, which Kratz denies. State now has 90 days in which to file new charges, or else Dassey could go free. Kratz, by the way, resigned from office in October of 2010 after a sexting scandal involving a domestic violence victim, whose ex-boyfriend he was prosecuting at the time. The Racine Public Library Board of Trustees is going to be meeting at 4:30 this afternoon in the Emily Lee Room of the Lakefront Facility, and that agenda includes a new website demonstration, a report from the Libraries Foundation on architectural cost studies, and likely mention of the new agreement for library services in a partnership with Racine Unified, a one-card-fits-all kind of arrangement. First of three Racine Unified school dedication ceremonies and open houses taking place at 4:30 this afternoon. It's the site of the new Knapp Elementary School on Racine's southwest side. Superintendent Lolly Haas, the administration membership, and school leadership all welcoming the public to come see what the referendum vote they gave meant 18 months ago. The new Olympia Brown, that dedication is next Wednesday at 5 p.m. That's on 5½ Mile Road. And the Gifford Edition ceremony is set for 2:30 p.m. on August 31st. Chief Operations Officer David Hazen was at one time a member of the school board. In fact, he was the president of the board for a while. The financial climate at that point would not have allowed new schools to be constructed.
We got three schools built in less than 18 months. It's pretty amazing.
Superintendent Lolly Haas told the school board this week the referendum dollars, well, they've been and continue to be spent just as promoted.
We said approximately $3.5 million a year for debt. We said approximately $1 million a year for technology, security, and safety, and approximately $3.5 million for fixing up our schools. So we're on, once now the buildings are built, that proportion will be relatively stable, and we are meeting that commitment today. that we made.
The new Knapp School, built right next to where the building from 1911 once stood until recently, also a partnership with United Way of Racine County for the funding of the programs through the annual campaign allocation. Target Corporation, speaking of money, going to be spending $20 million to put private bathrooms in all of its 1,800 stores by next March. The retailer taking the action after customers complained when it announced a policy of allowing transgender people to use restrooms that match their gender identity. And shareholders say yes to the merger of Glendale-based Johnson Controls and Tyco, an overwhelming 97% of the votes cast in favor of the merger, the deal to close September 2nd. Tyco will be buying out Johnson Controls, moving the headquarters, at least on paper, to Ireland for a $150 million tax break. Police in Racine investigating a shots fired call from about 2:30 this morning in the 1800 block of Douglas Avenue. The initial reports had somebody knocking on the front door to a residence there and then three shots being fired. Nobody got hurt. The residents did not see who did it. Another public input session held last night at Racine's Festival Hall, all part of the process to completing a master plan for bicycle and pedestrian routes in the city. Health Administrator Dottie K. Bowersock saying participants were invited to leave their notes on the recommendations regarding maps in various areas. The recommendations from last night going to be used to create the master plan. The ultimate goal, she said, making biking and walking safer and easier.
We want to make sure that there's opportunities for safe involvement for cyclists or bike riders between the streets, the traffic, the sidewalks, so individuals have a clear understanding of how to get to destinations.
It'll probably be another 6 months or so, she says, before the final master plan is ready for review. City's Health Department and the Wisconsin Bike Federation beginning that master plan planning process earlier last year. Kenosha County Board of Supervisors this week unanimously approving the appointment of Matt Collins as the new director of the county's various park facilities. Supervisor Dennis Elverman, chairing the Public Works and Facilities Committee, noted that Collins was hired as an assistant parks director shortly after former director John Rudy announced plans to retire. That was more than a year ago. And since then, he says that Collins, well, he's expanded on Rudy's ability to create partnerships, and that's really helping the parks to thrive.
John was very good at finding grants, finding ways to do these things. Now Matt has got us moving in the next step, next level. Matt's training, Matt's degrees, and his passion for the position and for Kenosha County.
Collins had been the interim parks director since Rudy's retirement earlier this year. And the Kenosha County Fair is underway in Wilmot, the fairest of the fair crown going to Madison Fenske out of six finalists. Fenske is a one-time 4-H member from the Wheatland Willing Workers Club. She's a communications student at UW Parkside. For winning, she gets a $500 scholarship and a lifetime free admission to the fair. But Fenske will also represent Kenosha County in the January statewide Fairest of the Fair event in Wisconsin Dells. The County Fair in Kenosha, by the way, running through Sunday. The amount that Kenosha County needs to borrow for the funding of this year's capital improvement projects was reduced in part because of a recent upgrade in the county's credit rating by Standard & Poor's Global and Fitch Ratings, both upping it to a AA-plus region, and it's one step below the highest rating that's available. The county board originally expected to borrow $14.1 million. Mike Harrigan of Ehlers telling the supervisors that with five bidders for the general obligation promissory notes, that total was reduced to $13.9 million. He said the county benefited as well from the timing of the sale, but the upgrade with the credit rating, also the result of work done by the county board and the finance department.
People work here that have a very high reputation in the industry. The finance committee and the county board over the years have strived for this type of action by rating agencies. So the county board and the finance committee should be very proud, not only this one, but prior ones, for the fact that you've stuck by your plan. You've used good judgment and you're good stewards of the county's money. And it's recognized through those report cards. So congratulations.
The funding to be used for such capital projects as road resurfacing and information technology upgrades. The Racine Zoological Society will be hosting the 21st Annual Car, Truck, and Bike Show this coming Sunday, August the 21st, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The admission to the zoo will only be $5 for the event. It keeps getting bigger and bigger, according to Beth Heidorn, the executive director of the zoo, who reminds the public that it is family-oriented and fun for all ages. Lots of food and beverages, along with special raffles throughout the day, a silent auction, and a 50-50 drawing. As for the show itself, awards will be given out at 3:30 in the afternoon, more than 75 trophies in 23 different classes. State Department of Transportation Zoo Interchange Project to include the installation of four new tub girders, as they're called, during a 31-hour window that starts Friday night with ramp closures at 10 p.m. and then the interstate shutting down an hour later. This will impact eastbound I-94 traffic at Highway 100, along with the system ramps from 894 and I-41 Highway 45 to 94 westbound, all being closed. If conditions allow, the work could be completed in less than that 31 hours planned. And AT&T is dumping a plan to charge customers for going over their data quota. Starting Sunday, people who exceed their monthly quota will instead have slower wireless speeds for the rest of the billing cycle, but there will be the chance to pay for more data rather than having to put up with the slower speeds. Otherwise, AT&T customers over their quota were going to be hit with an overage charge of $15 per gigabyte. Former Green Bay Packer and NFL star Darren Sharper, 18 years in prison in a case in which he was accused of drugging and raping as many as 16 women in four states. Another closed session this evening of the Racine Executive Committee about the Machinery Row project, on which progress has been significantly slower than city officials had been expecting. It will not be an open session afterward, and that means the specifics of the discussion will remain under wraps, at least for the time being, aside from the obvious lack of fast progress. The Executive Committee consists of the mayor and the chairs of the standing committees, plus the Common Council president, but other aldermen may also attend. Members of the city's Redevelopment Authority, now chaired by former Alderman Greg Helding, may also be in attendance. Machinery Row, that multifaceted, multi-million-dollar project currently involving Iowa developer Rodney Blackwell of Financial District Properties. A conditional use permit for relocating the Prairieside Veterinary Clinic from 21st and Lathrop in Racine to a former restaurant site in Mount Pleasant and Highway 20 gets support from the Village Plan Commission. But there are some outstanding issues yet to be answered. The developer, Mark Bork, said three added conditions by village staff had not been factored into the client's financial plans, with $20,000 in anticipated additional cost. Bork said that the timeline is important to maintain. The outstanding conditions could be answered by the time his client goes before the full village board Monday night.
We understand that we cannot proceed without meeting these conditions, unless, of course, they're agreed to be changed. So I'm not suggesting that you alter anything at this point. I would say approve it based upon these conditions. He obviously will likely be asked at the village board meeting whether or not he agrees with these conditions. And at that point in time, if he fails to be in agreement, he'll let you know, and then it's probably dead or tabled or what have you.
Village Development Director Logan Martin said that the landscaping requirement, that's standard for that business corridor. New figures out from the state budget office show capital projects in Wisconsin that had to be put on hold with the current budget will end up costing more money if they proceed, including facilities plans on the UW Parkside campus in Kenosha. The report has the price tag for the seven projects proposed by the UW system, $30 million more than the previous projections.
There's cost whether you act or don't act, and I think the responsible thing to do is move a responsible capital budget forward and make sure that we're actually paying for these things.
That is Oshkosh Democratic Representative Gordon Hintz. The Parkside request to renovate Wiley Hall carried an almost $30 million price tag. State Budget Office report says that same request today, closer to $36 million. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.